I want to introduce our first speaker. Lisa Thompson is here with several other members from, she's from a nurse practitioner from the Colorado Coalition, so we got a local talk to for the first one, and then we'll get into some other areas, obviously. She's going to be up here with several other members that work with her, nurse practitioners from various different community organizations, and so I'll let them introduce themselves after that.
Great, thank you, Ben. As you said, I'm Lisa Thompson. I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner with the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless here in Denver, Colorado, and I'm here with a couple of my colleagues, Dr. Mary Weber and Dr. Karen Pfeiffer. And Dr. Ed Farrell wasn't able to make it to be here with us today. And so we are going to present some research that we've done. The title is The Prevalence of Chronic Illness and Perceived Access to Services at a Day Shelter for the Homeless. We have no disclosures, no relationships to disclose. And so just to go over our objectives here for the next 15 minutes is to describe the prevalence of a chronic illness in an urban homeless adult population. So the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless runs a medical clinic here in Denver, Colorado, and we collaborate in the community with a couple of different organizations. One of those is a day shelter called the St. Francis Center. And so, and people that we work with that access the clinic for medical care also spend time at the day clinic at St. Francis, and we have a medical clinic there. And so the physicians and some of the practitioners at the day clinic were interested in looking specifically at the health issues of this population that was accessing care at the day shelter rather than at the larger Stout Street Clinic, which is affiliated with the coalition. So we're going to identify some of the relationships between length of time homeless and health status, list barriers to chronic homeless individuals face in terms of accessing health, mental health, and substance treatment services, and then look at some strategies for improving access to services. So as I mentioned, this was a collaboration both within the community, within the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless, but then also with the University of Colorado School of Nursing or College of Nursing and the School of Medicine. So we partnered with that entity in order to be able to complete our study. And as I mentioned, the aim was to look at the specific disease burden and the perceived access that the people that were accessing this day shelter, what was their perceived access to these services. And we definitely looked at this as sort of a preliminary study with the expectation and hope that we were going to have some additional studies to come. So in terms of what we were looking at in terms of chronic illness, we were looking at chronic medical conditions, so we were definitely asking about those, as well as chronic mental health and substance use disorders. Those were the three kind of main areas that we were focused on. And so obviously what we know is that people who are homeless experience a greater burden of physical, mental health, and substance abuse issues. And as I said, there was some kind of anecdotal questioning as to whether or not the population that was accessing services at the St. Francis Center had perhaps a greater disease burden, and just trying to really look at what are the specific issues that this population was focused on. Definitely we know there's higher rates of mortality, and certainly there's a critical need for some preventative services. So the ultimate goal is to work with the Coalition for the Homeless, with the university, to try to tailor the services to the people that are accessing treatment here at the St. Francis Center. How could we tailor our services for them? So certainly some of the barriers to access to care, for those of you that are working with the homeless population, we know that lack of money, unaware of the services, no place to store medications, or there's plenty of barriers that the population that we are working with are definitely dealing with on a daily basis. But theoretically, because we have a clinic that's located right up the street, and because there's an actual separate clinic that focused on this unique population, in theory, the clients that we're seeing should have they should have access. So we're trying to look at, you know, what was the perception of that. So our specific questions were what was the frequency of common chronic mental illness, substance use, and physical illness? What were the factors associated with being homeless? And did having insurance have any impact on their access to care? We're going to look at that and talk a little bit about that. And then again, what's the perception of access to health and mental health and substance abuse among this particular unique population that was accessing their services there? Now I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Dr. Mary Weber.
We have our little dog and pony show. All right, we did a literature review, and many of you that are in substance and in mental health and homeless research know the literature that's out there. Again, wanted to know why, if we did have access to some medical care, why people were not accessing it, or what the perception was. So we collaborated between agencies and the university, between the College of Nursing and the School of Medicine on the development of the survey, finding out what the agency wanted to know. At least for this first round, we decided on English speaking only. Obviously, that's a limitation of the study, but this is our first part of the study. We elected as a self-report instrument. We included questions about had they ever been told they had a particular physical or mental health problem, what was their perception of access to care, and then their use of services. We also talked about preventative kinds of services and other things that we're not talking about today. We did use part of a NIDA modified assist to look at substance use, and the three of us were on site at the day shelter to help in survey completion for anyone that had any literacy issues, any language translation or anything like that. It was a non-random convenient sample. On that day in the day shelter, there were 800 people that participated in the day shelter. 300 participated in our study. We elected to do one day only, afraid that we would have people do double times. We used a pair of socks for a reward, and socks is a big commodity. And of course, we had IRB approval. Our demographics, we had 40% that were white, we had 30% African American, 20% Hispanic, and then Native American and multiracial about 5%, and Asian Pacific Islander 1%. The length of homelessness and our mean age first homeless, the mean age was 36 years of age, but you see the range, ranging from age 3 to when they were first homeless to age 67, so we had a full gamut of people. The mean years of being homeless was 7.2 standard deviation, so we were looking at a chronically homeless population. And the range, you can see, from 67 years, we had people that were very elderly there, and we had people, you had to be 18 to be there, but that had been there, 1% had been homeless at least 1 year, the rest had been much longer. So this was a very chronically homeless population. So reasons for homelessness, we used a scale and a questionnaire that Denver uses when it does a point in time look at why people are homeless, and of course they can put more than one reason for this. And so you see that the biggest one was lost a job or couldn't find work and unable to pay rent and mortgage. And so those two combined were significant. And then we had almost 50% reporting alcohol and substance use, 40% relationship problems, and up to 30% mental illness. And how much mental illness and relationship problems and alcohol led to lost work or unable to pay rent is hard to say at that point. And then we had those discharged from jail, you know, and 30%. So it'll be interesting as we do some more research and more data analysis to compare this across years and see if our economic downturn has made a difference. Prevalence of chronic illness, hypertension being number one for our physical illnesses, and hepatitis C and asthma as being the top three. I think many of you might have suspected diabetes being a big one, but in Colorado, we're the leanest state. We tend to have the lowest percentage of diabetes, although like everybody else, it's going up. So it didn't come up as high as what you would have expected. But pain interfering with work, 30%. And again, I think pain is often not looked at in this population, and it turned out to be pretty significant. Mental health and substance abuse disorders. Number one, smoking. Big problem. Almost 70% of people identified smoking as a huge problem. The other issue was depression. Almost 50% of people reporting depression in this survey, and those are pretty significant. And then in terms of other substance use, alcohol turned out to be the number one behind smoking, almost 40%. And so perceived health status and access to care, what was interesting is 57% rated their general health as good to excellent, which I thought was great, and 52% strongly agreed or agreed that they had access to care. And about 40% of this population had some type of insurance, because we have veterans there, we have people that have Medicaid or Medicare, and so 40% did, 60% did not have that. Now we'll go into the data. Dr. Karen Pike.
I think we do talk a little bit later about some of the variations in the population that we saw. Because we were there, we have two psychiatric nurse practitioners and myself, who's more of a health services researcher. But we found that the room we were sitting in, there were like probably four or five people sitting there that were actively hallucinating. They did not participate in our study. And we did ask them if they wanted to, willing to sit down with them and help them kind of do the survey. But, you know, so these are underrepresented numbers. One of the things that we did with the data is we were interested in access to care. So we had two variables that were looking at access to care. One was defined as having any kind of health insurance, Medicaid, Medicare, or any other type of health insurance. The second one was defined as a positive response when asked, when you need medical care, do you have access to a regular medical provider? This is basically asking, can you go to the South Street Clinic? Can you go to the St. Francis Clinic, even if they don't have health insurance? So it's not based on health insurance. The standard definition for access to care is if they have health insurance. We actually wanted to sort that out a little bit. We also looked at kind of the independent variables. Serious health conditions were defined as having diabetes, asthma, or HIV positive, thinking that those are people that need more chronic, have more acute problems that are going to require consistent access to care. Chronic health disorders were defined as having either chronic liver disease, heart disease, I don't know how we all missed that, heart disease, hepatitis C, chronic heart disease, and COPD. Serious mental illness was defined as having a diagnosis of major depression, bipolar disorder, or schizophrenia, and they were self-reported. Needless to say, there was a lot of overlap. There are people that had multiple ones. Substance abuse disorders we defined as having used alcohol, cocaine, methamphetamines, and inhalants, hallucinogens, or opiates daily or weekly, which is pretty amazing. So what we found, we were looking at the chronic homelessness, and we divided it by years. So anybody who was greater than 1 year, 2 to 4 years, 4 to 9 years, or greater than 10 years homeless, and looking at how they fit into those kind of different categories with serious mental health problems, serious health problems, chronic health problems, or illegal drug use. And as you see, if you look at the total on the right-hand side, you know, 81% of the people said they had some chronic substance abuse problems. This is not new for those of you who work in the homeless health projects. You know that this is a nice, relatively realistic viewpoint of the populations that people are serving. So we were interested in looking at, you know, their access to care. Did they have health insurance? So part of what we thought, okay, if they have health insurance, do they go for care? And basically, some of them did, some of them didn't. What was interesting to me when I did this was the use of illegal substances. That, you know, there was the larger percentage, but only 32% of them thought that they had access to care or had insurance. But it was one that was not significant. I think clinically it's very significant, but statistically it wasn't. Also looking at the percentage of people who had serious health problems or else serious mental health problems, really only around 30% of the people that had serious mental health problems also had any kind of insurance. So again, the first dependent variable is looking at whether or not they have insurance and if that increases or changes their access to care. Because this is a community-based participatory research project, we were also interested in how well they were accessing the Stout Street Clinic. The Stout Street Clinic provides care to the uninsured or people with Medicaid, but there's insurance is not mandated. People can walk in. So the second one was access to care. Oh, I'm sorry. I did a regression. I'm sorry. I just have to do these things to figure out, you know, what's the odds ratio. And this again is not at all surprising that the, you know, people with serious health problems, serious mental health problems, have a higher, you know, almost almost three times more likely to not have access to care. Not surprising.
Yeah. So for the substance abuse, though, they're less likely?
Yeah, they're less likely. Which means basically that the insurance isn't covering their substance abuse treatment, which is interesting. Having just talked to the people talking about healthcare reform and access to substance abuse treatment and how easy it's going to be, I thought, well, this is interesting.
These are odds ratios for having access to health insurance.
Having health insurance as a proxy for healthcare having access.
Is it having or not having?
Is having health insurance.
So that you have two times more likely to have access to care if you have a serious health condition?
If you have insurance. If you have insurance, it's more likely that you're going to have access to care.
So people with serious mental illness are less likely to have insurance?
Yes, at least in this population.
Insurance is less related to access to care.
Yes, that's the bottom line, is that having health insurance does not guarantee that you're going to have access to care.
Right, but this is whether or not they have, like, let's say Medicaid. People with serious mental illnesses are less likely to have Medicaid.
No, they're less likely to have access to care because of having health insurance. The health insurance is the dependent variable. That's the next one.
Oh, right. So this is the actual.
This is whether or not they have health insurance and whether or not they have access to care through having health insurance. So the next one is actual perception. Okay, when you need medical care, do you have access to a primary care provider? Now, under this definition, a primary care provider for us means they've gone to the St. Francis Clinic or they're going to the Stout Street Clinic. That's the primary care. And within those are mental health and substance abuse treatments, access to them. Does that make sense? So what we ask people is, if you need help, do you know where to go? And can you get in? Basically, do you have regular access? So basically what we found is that the majority of people do not feel that they do. It's like half of them, which is kind of consistent with the fact that half of them felt like they didn't, if you just look at the frequencies. So the majority of people who are chronically homeless have serious health, mental health, and substance abuse problems. 81% reported the use of illegal drugs, but only 32% had access to any kind of substance abuse services. Now, we didn't define substance abuse services clearly as, you know, detox or jail services or going to AA meetings. That wasn't distinguished. And I think if we do this again, we might ask those questions. This is our first wave through. Those with a diagnosis of a serious health issue, like asthma, HIV, or diabetes, were 2.7 times less likely to have health insurance. So they weren't they weren't able to access care through their health insurance, like half, more than half of them. Those with a diagnosis of either major depression, bipolar, or schizophrenia are 2 times less likely to have health insurance. Okay, for the access to, this is their perception. 50%, a little over 50% of the respondents reported having access to a healthcare provider when they needed it, but then, you know, 49% of them did not. Oh, running into time here. Also, looking at the serious health conditions, you know, they were about a third less likely to have access to care. Those with either one of the major or serious mental health disorders were also half as likely to have access to care. This is actually consistent when you look at that there's a long waiting list for access to mental health or substance abuse care through the clinics. So we had some limitations. This is our first wave through this population. It was a convenient sample. They were mostly English speakers who sought refuge at the daycare center. There were a few people that spoke kind of English, Spanish, and we actually sat and talked with them and helped them get through some of the survey because I speak some Spanish. So we were, you know, it was a hysterical event because my Spanish is like, I teach to speak like a 4-year-old. And asking complicated questions. There were a number of individuals who had symptoms of a serious mental illness who were not able or willing to complete the survey. I mean, it was just clear to us. And we would, you know, circle around and talk to them and see if we can kind of engage them. There was just no way. So it was just an underrepresentation. People that didn't understand a question may have felt too embarrassed to ask for help, because there was definitely some issues around literacy. And underreporting was expected from stigma or fear of repercussions, even though we kept ensuring them they had to sign the consent form. And it was very clear that they you know, weren't going to lose any benefits, nothing was going to happen. But there were still some issues around being able to talk about it. This was pretty much a male population day center, and we've talked about going to the women's day center. Around 50% felt like they had access to care. There's a lot of work needed to collaborate with multiple agencies in the community to identify primary care providers and mental health providers who to be able to kind of increase some access. We need to work collaboratively within the community with multiple agencies to engage homeless individuals in kind of harm reduction and substance abuse options. And we need to work with state legislatures on policy issues, because there's a lot of things that can change. And after some of the talks this morning around what that might look like, I think we have a lot of room to expect something different. And also, we need to look at people who are not English speaking. So it's our first wave through. And I think, are we going to do questions now, or are we going to hold them
running behind
for late?
So I think we'll hold the questions till the end.
Okay.
Thank you.